Chapter 6. The Shop. When Winston left work at the end of the next day, the weather was fine. Suddenly, he decided not to go to the community centre that evening and to take a long walk instead. It was not a very good thing to do because people at the community centre would notice that he was not there and party members were not supposed to do anything on their own. But today, Winston did not want a noisy evening at the centre with boring games, talks, and people being friendly because they had drunk too much victory gin. So he started out on his walk, not caring where he went. After a few kilometres, he went through a dirty, dusty prole area which was once called St Pancras. It was not an offence to go to prole areas, but party members did not usually visit them. A patrol might stop him and he would have to answer awkward questions. What are you doing here, comrade? What time did you leave work? Is this your usual way home? But despite the danger, he kept walking. And as he walked, he kept remembering the strange truth that he had written in his diary. If there is hope, it is with the proles. As he walked along a dirty street among crowds of proles, two women who were talking in a doorway stopped and stared at him as if he was an odd kind of animal. Suddenly, someone shouted, "Lie flat on the ground, mister!" Quickly, Winston obeyed the instruction. A few moments later, a rocket bomb fell very close to him. He was covered with broken glass, but he was not hurt, and he got up and continued walking. Further along the street, he saw the ruins of a group of houses where the bomb had struck. He turned down a narrow street and into a new area of the city. It was nearly 20 hours, and the drinking shops, or pubs, as the proles called them, were full. The noise of arguments and the smell of sweat came out of the open doors as Winston passed them. He heard some men arguing loudly.
"Listen to me," one of them was saying angrily. "I tell you no number ending in 7 has won in more than a year."
"Yes, it has," shouted one of the others.
They were talking about a competition to win money, which was the only party event the proles cared about. However, all the party members knew that the amazing weekly prizes did not exist. There were a few real prizes for lucky winners, enough to keep the proles interested. "If there is hope, it is with the proles," Winston thought again. But when he looked at the uneducated, unthinking people around him, he knew that it was only a small hope. Winston had a feeling he had been on this street before. Then he realised he was near the shop where he had bought the book which had become his diary. A feeling of fear went through him. He had promised himself he would not come near this place again. And yet his feet had brought him back here. He noticed that although it was nearly 21 hours, the shop was still open. He went inside, thinking he could say he was trying to buy razor blades if anyone questioned him. The owner had just lit an oil lamp, which had a warm, friendly smell. He was a man of about 60, old and bent, with a long nose and gentle eyes behind thick glasses. His hair was almost white, and he was wearing a black jacket made from old but expensive cloth.
"I recognised you on the pavement," he said. "You're the gentleman who bought that book made from beautiful paper."
He looked at Winston over the top of his glasses.
"Do you want anything special?"
"I was just passing," said Winston. "I don't want anything in particular."
"That's a good thing," said the man,
because I don't suppose I have anything interesting."
He waved his arm at the things in the shop.
"It's hard to find things to sell these days. Anything metal is being melted down to make guns."
Winston looked around the tiny shop, which was in fact very full of old things, but none of them looked valuable. He wandered towards a small table where he noticed a round, smooth object that shone in the lamplight. It was a heavy piece of glass, round on one side and flat on the other, like half of a ball. The colour reminded him of rainwater, and in the middle of it there was a strange pink object.
"What is it?" asked Winston, picking it up. "It's a paperweight with coral inside it," said the old man. "It's more than 100 years old. The coral comes from deep in the Indian Ocean."
"It's a beautiful thing," said Winston.
"There aren't many people who are interested in beautiful things these days," said the old man. "If you wanted to buy it, it would be $4.
Winston immediately paid $4 and put the paperweight into his pocket. The old man looked happier now that Winston had bought something.
"There's another room upstairs which you might like to have a look at," the old man said. "There are just a few pieces in it."
He lit another lamp and led the way slowly up some narrow stairs and into a living room above the back of the shop, which had a view down to a backyard and across roofs. There was an old clock with a 12-hour face on a shelf over the fireplace, carpet on the floor, and some pictures on the walls. Under the window, there was an enormous wooden bed.
"My wife and I lived here till she died," said the old man. "I'm selling everything now."
He was holding the lamp high so Winston could see the whole room. There was no telescreen. A thought went through Winston's mind. It would probably be quite easy to rent the room for a few dollars a week, if he dared to.
"Now, if you're interested in old pictures," the old man said, holding up the lamp to show a picture on one side of the fireplace.
Winston examined the picture, which showed an old building with a tower.
"The picture is fixed to the wall," said the old man, "but I could take it down for you if you like."
"I recognise that building," said Winston. "It's a ruin now."
"That's right. Rocket bombs destroyed it many years ago," replied the old man. "It was a church. Once it was called St. Clement's Dane."
"I knew that it had been a church," Winston said. Winston talked to the old man for a few more minutes and learned that his name was Charrington. He decided that in about a month he would come back and buy the picture of the church, take it out of its wooden frame, and hide it under his jacket to take home. Feeling a little frightened about what he had done and what he was thinking, Winston left the shop in a hurry. But as soon as he was outside, he saw someone wearing the blue overalls of the party coming towards him. It was the dark-haired young woman from the fiction department. She looked straight at him, then hurried past. Winston had no doubt now that she must be spying on him. She must have followed him. Was she just spying on him because she wanted to, or was she actually working for the Thought Police? Winston was filled with terror, and he felt a sharp pain in his stomach. At first, he could not make himself move. He thought about running after the woman and hitting her on the head with a stone from the street, or even with the glass paperweight in his pocket. But he quickly realised that he could not run after her because she was younger and probably stronger than him. All he wanted to do was to get home, sit down, and be quiet. Slowly, he began to walk. It was after 22 hours when he got back to the flat. He went into the kitchen and drank a teacup of Victory Gin. Then he got out his diary, but he could not think what to write. He tried to think about the face of O'Brien, but that did not help. He tried to think about the place where there is no darkness that O'Brien had spoken about in his dream, but instead the face of Big Brother came into his mind. Winston pulled a coin out of his pocket, and seeing Big Brother's calm smile, began to feel that there was no hope for a better future.